Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Praise God. I mean, the Word of God says to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he gets old, what'll happen? He won't depart from it. Is that right? Is that just a word to say, or is that a promise? That's a promise. That's one of God's promises. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart. Amen? Praise God. So it's almost like a promise. Says, yeah, they might get out there. How many of you know the people get out there? But then God says, I'll just bring them right back in. How many say? It's a promise. Amen? So praise God. Hey, well, so we have some folks to train up a child that train our children in our church. How many say amen to that? Yes. And so I'd like to bring up all the teachers that are here. That could you please come forward? And we want to pray for you. We want to pray, I mean, because, hey, young man, come on. Yeah, right in here. Yeah, face the congregation here. Praise God. Pastor John, we're going to let you do this.
Glory to God. All
right. Well, you know, every morning we sit here and we enjoy the presence of God in our worship, and we can hopefully pay attention to the Word. But these teachers here, they're taking care of our kids. Not only, this is not a babysitting thing, they're actually speaking into the hearts of our children. Okay, so it's something that, you know, one of these days, one of these little guys is going to be behind that pulpit. Amen. And it's all because of these teachers that have spoken into their hearts. And so we want to first pray for each one of them. And we thank you guys for all the time that you spend and all the efforts that get put. Sometimes you'd rather be in here maybe listening, but, you know, God's given you that. So what we'd like to do is just pray over you right now. So if you guys would like just extend your hands. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the hearts of teachers. We thank you, Lord, for those that have stepped up, Lord, to bless not only the children, but the families of these children, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are raising a new generation, Lord. And this generation, Lord, is going to be one that is not going to even think about praying in tongues or whatever it is that the Spirit is leading. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is just going to be a part of what these children have in their hearts. No tradition, no anything, but to just say, Lord, yes, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, that you have blessed them. Let us as a congregation be a blessing to them, Lord. Let us encourage our teachers. Let us always stand with them, Lord, and bless what God has given them to do. And bless our children, Lord, too, as they are with them, Lord, that they would behave themselves and be a blessing to the teachers. So we thank you guys. And before you step off, we do have a gift for you. Okay? And so we're just going to, this is just something in appreciation. And I don't have them in any order here.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. And we have one teacher that's not here. So just to let you know what we've done here as far as gifts are concerned, the board has decided that we're going to take certain groups and just bless them with a gift, with appreciation of what they do. So this time it is the teachers. Okay. Every quarter we're going to get another group that we just want to say thank you. Because we do really thank you guys. That's it.
Appreciate your time.
And I just, I wanted to share something that was on my heart. And it's kind of in regards to the song we're going to be singing. This is a new song we're going to sing. It's called Communion. And I just wanted to read. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This song has been such a blessing in my life. And I'm really excited to share it with you guys, because we got to remember that sometimes we get caught up in the day-to-day. Sometimes we get caught up in, this is the way church should go. This is the way things should be. But we got to remember, we got a gift the day that Jesus died upon that cross. And that gift was that there was no longer a separation. We didn't have to go in and make an offering and speak to priests who then spoke. We didn't have to do that stuff anymore. It went away because at that moment, he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is with us always. Always. He's within you. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't walk away. He is there. And just like this scripture talks about, as we persevere and we go after him, as we make communion, he begins to reveal things in our lives and gives us revelation that we may speak boldly of the mysteries of the kingdom. Man, guys, this is where we become effective. This is where we become more than just a church. This is where we make a difference in the world around us. It's because as we make communion, as revelation happens, let me tell you, it doesn't just stay right there. It becomes apparent in your life. It becomes apparent in your job. It becomes apparent in your relationships. It becomes apparent in every single thing you do. Everything. And that is that light that'll shine so bright, because now you are a reflection of him. You're a reflection of the Father. So as we go into this song, I just want to encourage you, just enjoy it. Let's spend some time this morning just communing with him, just having that time with him, spending time in his presence, allowing him to speak to us, allowing him to do some things in our heart, because there is just something so sweet about God, I'm just here to spend time with you. I just want what you have for me. Hallelujah. I just want to spend some time with you, because that's what this is about. We have a gift that this world needs. And as he just speaks to you, you'll begin to see that river of living water just begin to flow in every aspect of your life.
The world is so full of temptation, telling us they need this, we need that, we need what the world says we need. There's bombardment of information and overload, and we've got to have this, and we've got to keep up with this person, and we've got to look like this, and we've got to have this. Temptation is everywhere. Temptation is so hard. But all we need is God. All we need is him. We don't need what the world is throwing at us, overloading us with. He gives us the peace. He is our peace. He is our comforter. He is our strength. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power. We are at peace. We are one. We are together, all together with him. All we need is him.
This morning, the Lord brought to mind Ephesians chapter 6. And so I'd like to read a little bit out of Ephesians chapter 6 to you. Starting with verse 11, the word says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and have prepared everything to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints." Take up the full Spirit of God. But of all of those pieces of armor I just talked about, that armor is defensive. There was only one offensive thing I mentioned there. That offensive thing is the Word of God. The Word of God. Take up the sword, which is the Word of God. We are not to sit back and do nothing, brothers and sisters. Faith is an action word, and we need to be walking out our faith. We need to be taking action against all that we see against us. And we need to pick up that sword, know that sword, eat the word, know it, live it. Praise God.
All right. Sorry. Last time I got a little, it was like something was stirring in my spirit. Someone else got up and said something similar, so I just decided, well, that must have been it. So I just got comfortable again and kind of snuggled up in my seat and let it go. And then Terry received a message the next day and said, "Linda, why didn't you say something?" So I'm being obedient this morning. I was worshiping this morning with, there's a group in Orlando, Florida that I've been listening to. It's just so beautiful. The worship is just, it makes you cry and get on your knees. So I love it. And I also heard someone giving a little testimony, and this is what stirred me. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this with you this morning. This man, he was a pastor, and he was getting over COVID, like a lot of people. So he was lying in bed, and the Lord spoke to his heart and said, "I want to take you somewhere and show you something." So he was like, "Yeah." And they left, you know. And he said he went up through the roof, and he was above the world, above the world. And he said he saw lightning. We may have it here, but he said it was more in Texas. But it's lightning that just kind of streaks across the sky, and it doesn't make any sound or anything like that. You just see it in the air. And so he was seeing this lightning, a pocket over Australia, a pocket over the United States, a pocket over the UK, a pocket over Africa, and all over the world like this. It's giving me chills. And the Lord said to him, "You see all those pockets of lightning?" He says, "That's chaos all over the world." He said, "But I want you to know something, and I want you to share this." He said, "I'm in control. I'm in control." That's the message.
Praise God.
Hi. One of the things that God's been sharing with me right now, I was going to come up here and I was going to say, well, I don't have anything to say, Lord. He goes, yes, you do. I'm going to speak through you. And I am going to tell you what to say. But what he wants to do is each one of you has a word that God wants to speak through you. You talk about the idea of how Jesus left the 99 to pick that one up. He wants to bring that one is you. And he wants you to come back to the flock and share. There's too much time that we are left alone, that we are saying, I have my time with God. I'm going to stay. But other people need to know what he's saying, not just to you, but they need to hear it. So I'm just saying, he's saying we are a family. We are the family of God. And if he is within us, then he wants to speak through us. So he wants us to stop stepping back. He wants us to walk forward and to share what he's given us. He wants us. This is what's so exciting when he brought the women's ministry to me. And I'm going, we get together once a month to get together to fellowship and to praise God and just to know that he's there. We give testimonies and the testimonies lift up each other. And that's what we need to do more often. Even in our seats next to you, the person next to you needs to hear. And God's saying, I want to speak through you. This is what he wants. But if you don't talk to anybody, how can he's going to share it? So he wants to share.
Some of you know who I am already. And for those of you that don't, my name is Carmen. I've been around a long time. You know, I'm part of the Over the Hill gang. But I really believe God wants you to hear this. I went to Costco a couple of weeks ago. And I was coming back from Costco. And it was about 6 o'clock. And the sun was setting on the west. But I was looking to the east. And it was a beautiful blue sky. And all of a sudden, I see like fire in the sky. Just burst of fire, okay? And I thought, Lord, if that's you, can I get three more? Because, you know, I'm always not sure when he's talking. He's talking all the time. It's just that I'm not always listening, unfortunately. But this time I listened, and I saw, shh, shh, shh. I went, oh. And then he took me to 2nd chapter Acts. They were all gathered in one accord. There's the key, by the way. One accord. We got to bring down these barriers of religion and denominations. And we got to come together in one accord, because that's when we see the miracles. And I said, oh, Lord. And he said, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm coming. And I'm not coming inside the church. I'm coming outside the church, on the streets, on the highways and byways. And don't be afraid to speak my word to whoever you meet. I don't care if you're at the 99-cent store, Walmart, wherever your feet take you. God said, speak his word. If you see somebody that's sick, open your mouth. Lay hands. Go up to the person. I guarantee you they will say yes. Can I pray for you? Oh, yes. They're hurting. And if you ask, they're more than happy. Listen and listen to your prayer. And I tell you, he said, everyone that will do that, I will back them up. Everybody in heaven will back up that prayer that you say here on earth. Because remember, whatever we bind here is bound there. And whatever we loosen here, it's loosened there. Not too many of us are speaking. Oh, poor us. We're listening to the bad news, and we're not listening to the good news. The good news is where it's at. You're a citizen of heaven, not earth. You're just passing through here. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So let me ask you, is Jesus sick right now? Then either are you. Come on now. Too many of us are just projects. Believe me, I've been in Mexico where there is no microphone and my voice just carries. But God is trying to teach us that we are the prophets of our tomorrow. So whatever comes out of your mouth today, guess what? It's going to manifest tomorrow. You got to be real careful what you say. Okay? This is your weapon. And this is the only part of my body that gets the most exercise, right here. Praise the Lord. I'm working on the rest, but this is the part that gets the most exercise. So I'm here as a cheerleader to tell you, get ready, get ready, get ready, because he's already here. He lives inside of you, inside of every single one of you. And he wants to use you as an instrument to bring forth the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Do I get an amen on that? All right, let's go out today and do that. I don't care what restaurant you go to, make sure that waitress, you always, this is my line. There are two kinds of people. The ones that are saved and the ones that are about to get saved. Which one are you? I guarantee you that person will pray with you. She'll say, what? Well, I must be. And if there's a doubt in their mind that they're not saved, you just open the door for them to accept Christ. And you do that part, and Jesus does the rest. Amen? Thank you.
Glory
to God. I just feel like the Lord is prompting me to say that, you know, we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And we are temples of the Holy Ghost, and we are to be stewards of this temple that God is living in. And he has called us to live holy and pure, blameless lives. We have to be willing to set aside those earthly and fleshly nature if we want the Spirit of God to increase in us, and that his presence and his glory would increase in us and spread throughout the earth. So I just feel like that's an instruction from the Lord that we are to live holy and pure lives so that he can do what he needs to do.
That boy, Jesse, come on.
God's been talking to me about pride and barriers. And he just basically saying to me, to whoever having these problems is don't let yourself get in the way of your relationship with God.
Come on.
And
it can be a barrier.
Pride can be your character or your personality, and you just don't want to let that get in the way of your relationship with God.
Yeah, come on. Good word, brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is everybody, is that good? Everybody, are you ready to receive another word from the Lord? No. Praise God. Come on. I'm excited about what God's doing. Thank you for all you guys that showed up last week where my wife and I wouldn't show up. We were kind of what they call quarantining. Is that right? We're quarantining at home. Anybody like quarantining at home? Yeah, no, I don't like. I'm not crazy about it, but praise God. That's kind of what they want nowadays. And just so people don't get nervous, hallelujah. We we stayed back. And I wasn't able to come in and talk about the men's retreat like I wanted to talk about the men's retreat. And I'm not gonna say too much about it, but I really enjoyed the men's retreat. I enjoy the presence of God. I enjoy when God comes in and begins to do things that you're not expecting. How many say amen to that? I believe that God is looking for people that are celebrating the arrival of who He is. How many say amen to that? I mean, look, I've been in churches, and there's a lot of folks saying, oh, we're just waiting for revival, waiting for revival. And the Holy Spirit said to me one time, He says, why are you waiting for revival? Why don't you just celebrate my arrival, and you'll find a revival in your life. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Because God is willing to do far and abundantly above all you can ask or think. He's willing to do it. But are we asking the right things? Are we speaking the right things? I was talking to my son the other day, and we were talking about the woman at the well, and Jesus was talking to her, and she goes, why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. And Jesus said, hey, Jesus wanted water. How many say amen to that? But he also wanted to minister to this lady. So he said, if you knew who it was that asked you, give me to drink, he said, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water. And she goes, the well is deep. You don't have nothing to draw with. How are you going to give me this living water? Jesus told her, go call your husband. I mean, I think that's my, I don't know, is that my phone? Hello, Jesus calling. I hope that's not my phone. I keep reaching back. Praise God. Hey, John, it's up on the cross. That's my cross. I recognize my phone. It's like no other phone in the world. How many say amen to that? Everybody's checking their phone. That's not mine. It wasn't Jesus. Jesus says, hold on. I got a word for you guys. Praise God. Praise God. He left a message. Oh, man, this service is going crazy. And I'm praise God. Hey, but Jesus says, hey, Jesus tells her, hey, go call your husband. And she goes, well, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, well, you're right. You've had five husbands. The one you're with, and you don't have, he's not your husband. And I don't know if you read that. How many of you read that story? Right away, she turns the subject. Say, hey, you say, you know what? You guys are supposed to worship in Jerusalem. And she changes the subject right away. Is that right? Can I tell you, I believe that she was asking the wrong questions. How many say amen to that? Amen. Can I tell you, we can live a whole lifetime with Jesus, with the answer within us, and we don't even ask the right questions. Can I say this to you this morning? Think about what you're asking him. Think about what you're asking him for. Think about who he is and what he has said, what his promises have said to you, that how much he wants to move through your life. Is that okay? Ask the right questions. If you don't know if you're asking the right question, here's a good question to ask him. God, am I asking the right question? That's a good question. Because he will begin to lead you into the places he's trying to get you to. How many say amen to that? I mean, folks, we're not supposed to be a scattershot. We're not a shotgun. God says, I will pinpoint where I want you to go, and I will tell you. The Word of God calls it something kind of crazy. It's called being led by the Spirit. How many say amen to that? Amen. Yeah. How many want to be led by the Spirit? I mean, you know what? I want to be so close to the Holy Ghost that when he says, that's the one, that's the one. When he says, that person over there, I said, oh, that's the person. Not that. We were in the men's meeting, in a men's group, and the brother was preaching, and he was very specific because he was hearing God call out the healings. Is that right, guys? You guys remember that? He was very specific. As a matter of fact, he said, what year was it that was bothering you?
What's that?
What year was it that was bothering you? Was it your right or left?
Left.
Left.
No, he was right.
Okay, it was your right ear. The brother said, somebody has a problem with the left ear. And Brother Aaron stood up. He goes, I got one with the right ear. He goes, we'll pray for you in a second. He says, but God right now is calling for somebody with a left ear problem. See, we got to listen to what God is saying and do that. And then, yeah, pray for the brother. Amen. I mean, do what you got to do. But when God is being specific, can I just tell you this morning? He wants to be very specific with you. He wants to tell you exactly what to do. Can I tell you that I believe there's many a blessing we've missed because we haven't listened for the Lord. Can I say, can you, amen? Everybody kind of looks at the floor. Oh, yeah, man, maybe so. We have missed blessings because we will not acknowledge the word that's within us for him to speak to us. And like just like Carmen said, he likes to speak all the time. If you will listen, God is a chatterbox. Let me say amen to that. He will chatter some, he'll speak some stuff to you. Come on, man. Hallelujah. We're in a, like we've said, heard this more, we're in a time where there's a lot of stuff going on. How do you say, man? Yeah. A lot of stuff going on. You're talking about schools, kids in schools, kids getting vaccines, COVID going. I mean, hey, we talk a lot about a lot of stuff. How do you say amen to that? And one of the things that God was saying to me yesterday, he says, remind them not to forget about who they are. How many of you know that you are a child of God? Is that right? Yeah. How many of you know that he is a father, he's a loving father, and you can come to him anytime you need to. How many say amen to that? And I have found that, man, I need to more times than others. I need to get to him more than all of you. How many say amen to that? Yeah. Everybody look at me and say, point your finger at me and say, yeah, you need him. Come on, man. Come on. I need him. God, I need you. I need you. I need you. Can't live without you. Amen? Hallelujah. He said he's going to give us life and life more abundant. You know, that is a close connection with the Father. That's what brings a life more abundant. Hallelujah. Ooh, come on. Hallelujah. David is a person that loved God with all his heart. Is that right? The Word of God says God was looking for a man whose heart was after him. And David was one of those men. How many of you want to be a David? How many of you want to be a I want to be God after your own heart. You know what? I don't care about what's going on really all that much. But God, I know that your promise has said that the meek will inherit the earth. That the wicked will not survive this thing. How many are saying that? I say amen to that. But that the meek and those that trust in the Lord, they will be strong and they will do exploits on this planet. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on, man. I'm going to tell you, don't be so ready to leave. I will say this over and over again. A lot of folks are just holding the fort. We're not called to hold the fort. We are called to win the lost. We are called. Listen, there is a harvest out there. Can I tell you that there's a harvest out there? Let me just say this to you. The harvest isn't just souls. This house was a harvest that came from God. God is saying it's not just whole. It's just not souls. God wants souls. No, don't get me wrong. But he wants you to take cities and lands and all these things that God promised Adam in the garden, the prototype. So don't be so willing to give up and get out. How many say amen to that? I'm just looking for the rapture, brother. I'm tired of all this stuff. Well, if you're tired of this stuff, see what God is saying about it and find out what the Holy Ghost has for you today. Each and every one of us, hallelujah, has got something that God has placed within you that he wants to do through you.
That's it.
Oh. I had to look up a scripture because it's been hitting me all night long. I went to bed thinking about it, got up in the middle of the night thinking about it three or four times, and I don't go to the bathroom that many times, but I made the mistake and wore sweats when I went to bed. And I woke up and I'm sweating away. I said, oh, I got sweats on. No wonder I'm sweating. So here's the scripture that I kept getting. It's Acts chapter 15, verse 18. It says, this is what it says. Known unto God are all his acts from the beginning of the world. Known unto God are all his acts from the beginning of the world. How many know that David walked in the acts of God? How many know that? Moses, all these things that we read about in the scriptures, to all the minor prophets, all the things that they said, all the speaking, God knows about them from the end, from the beginning of the world to the end. How many know? Can I just say to you, it's not a coincidence that you're here at this time. I'm not just talking about this church, but that you're here on the earth at this time as a Christian. It's not a coincidence. God has acts to do through you. Can I say that to you? Things that you're going to do because of him that dwells. It's not you, it's him. He gets all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. How many even know? How many of you have figured it out? I'm dead.
That's right.
But Christ is alive in me. The more you release your old man, the more of him you receive. That's just a great exchange. And it's powerful to you. It will do things, go places, see things, hear things that you never imagined because it's of him that dwells in you. Isn't that crazy? Hallelujah. Known from the beginning are all his acts. He knows them. And he knows why he's got you. That's crazy, isn't it? Ooh, praise God. David was one of these guys. Loved him with all his heart. Loved God. Was chosen as a young boy to play music in the king's court. How many say amen? He's in there playing his music. Same music that he would play to the sheep out there while he praised God and worshiped God. And then you'd see a lion, lay it down, lay his harp down and take off after that lion. Grab that lion by his beard is what it says. Isn't that what the word of God said? He grabbed him by his beard. How many of you are lion chasers today? Anybody here a lion chaser? I will tell you, you will do extraordinary things because of the Spirit of God. Chasing down a lion and pulling a sheep out of it. Chasing down a bear and grabbing it. And these were things David was doing, a man after God's own heart. David just happened to go to the battle when Goliath was shown. Now, remember this? I'm going to just go through a little history with you, if you guys remember. David just happened to show up. But before he went to that battle, there was something that God had did that he had sent a prophet to David's house because God wasn't happy with the king. I talk with my hands. Does that bother anybody?
No.
It does my wife. She goes, stop talking with your hands. I said, well, he went to, praise God. Samuel went to his house, and Samuel looks at his oldest brother and says, that's got to be the king. That's the one you're talking about. And God says, don't look on his appearance, because God sees not as man sees. I look on the heart. He says, keep going, Samuel. So Samuel finally gets to David. They had to call him in, and David gets chosen to be anointed for the next king of Israel. How do you say amen to that? He's the next king. Goes home. Dad sends him with what was it? Parched corn and some cheese, right? Doritos. Send it to his boys in the field over there. Here's some of the parched corn. Here's some cheese for you. Where's my brothers? They're over there. And then the champion shows up of the Philistines. Come on, who wants to fight me? Come on, you know. So David hears him, and he's, I defy the armies of Israel. Woo, can you see David? The lion hunter, the bear, got his hair just going, woo, what's this guy talking about? And his older brother tells him, why don't you go home, you little brat? He says, hey, isn't there a cause? How come you're not taking care of him, bro? And he said, hey, We're gonna give you the king's daughter if you can fight this guy and beat him. David says, "Hey, I'm gonna go do that." Goes down there and fights with the Goliath. How many say amen? How many like the story? You guys like the story? We have David and Goliath. David and Goliath beats the guy. Jonathan and Saul. It's funny to me that Saul looked at him and go, "Who is this lad?" It's just the same guy who's been playing in your court for the last year. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Can I tell you that sometimes people are just centered on themselves and not on anybody else? Can I say that to you? So it's very possible that Saul was so enthused about being king that he never even noticed who David was. When they chose David, do you know that they told the king that he was a valiant man? Do you know that? That's what the scripture says. Hey, we know this young guy. He can play, but he's also a mighty man. He's valiant. Saul didn't see all that until that day in the valley when Goliath faced David and David beat him. Fearlessly. Without any fear, he defeated him. How many say? Can I tell you, the fear is going crazy in our world today?
Yeah.
Fear is a motivator for all everything. Even fear is a motivator about what we talk about. Can I tell you that? Say what? Like Carmen said, watch what you say. Watch your mouth. Is that right? You are an instrument for the Lord. Speak the things of God. Speak faith. Speak joy. Speak love. David gets hired by Saul. Saul's got him in with the main guys. He eats at his table and everything. And David, he appoints him as a captain over some of his hosts. And David starts going out. And as they're coming in, Saul goes out to meet David. And then the ladies, how many say amen?
Amen.
Come on, the women, those mighty women of God, amen? Start saying, hey, Saul has slain his thousands. But David, he's so cute, has slain his 10,000s. Woo. Saul's going, what's wrong with this picture? Why do they like him more than me? He's cuter. Why did Israel? Why? Because he was an anointed man of God. He was an anointed king. A lot of folks didn't even reckon. They didn't know he was an anointed king. God's anointing was upon him. God would do great and mighty things through him. And he was already starting to do it. And they were, woo, praise God. And Saul didn't like it. How many say amen? And that's where we're going to take up the word of God right here. We're going to see that God began to work with David, and Saul was upset. So I want to ask you to go to Samuel chapter 19. We'll start at verse 1. The word of God says here, and Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should, what? Kill David. Kill David. What? The king is telling all his servants that David needs to die. Isn't that crazy? A young man that loved him. That young, David loved King Saul because he was God's king. That's crazy. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to yourself until the morning and abide in a secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are. And I will commune with my father of thee. And what I see, that I will tell you. And Jonathan spoke good of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he had not sinned against thee, and because his works have been very good toward thee. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. You sawest it, and you did rejoice. Wherefore, then, will you sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? Was Jonathan a wise young man? Yes, he was. Man, he was a good guy, man. I love Jonathan. I mean, anyway. And Saul hearkened to the voice of Jonathan and swore, as the Lord lives, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was a war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. All David is doing is his job. How many say amen to that? Amen. He's just doing his job. Yep. Trouble is, his job with the anointing that's upon him is causing him to be very great. And he slaughters a lot of Philistines. Is that okay? Yep. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, but that's what he did. The blessing of God was on this young man. And he went out again, and then he killed all these guys, right? And Saul, and he probably came back. Saul heard it. So, oh yeah, he killed thousands. Well, so Saul, what he's thinking is, the ladies. How is that? Slain his thousands. Saul, I've only killed 1,000. David, here he's racking more up. Word of God says that here.
And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. Praise God, man. Them Philistines don't know what they got. Man, God will use me to... And he's playing, and here comes... And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin to the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him, to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If you save not your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be killed, you'll be slain." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image, laid it in the bed, and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. How many of you guys used to do that when you snuck out at night? I'm going to sneak out. Mom's going to think I'm asleep here, man. Probably with me, I'd need a snoring recorder. Put that under the pillow. My wife's having a hard time sleeping. Be praying for my wife, because I snore a lot. Sorry. Get her plugs. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He's sick." And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him." And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed and a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said to Michal, "Why have you deceived me so and sent away my enemy that he has escaped?" And Michal answered Saul and said, "He said to me, 'Let me go. Why should I kill you?'" Liar. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel, to Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went to dwell in Naoth. I like this. When David felt really the pressure of Saul on his life, how many say he was under some pressure? When the king, as not just guy down the block that lived across the street from him, this was the king that he served, was wanting to kill him, sent people to his house to kill him while he was asleep. Where does he run? He runs to the prophet. Amen? You know, the word of God tells us to take, hey, listen to the prophets. Listen to what they say. Take heed to the prophets of what the scripture says. Well, you know what? We got to take a look at all the things that are being said in this book. Amen? That's right. Amen? You got to hear what's said in the book. Listen to the prophets. Forget about the ones that are out there. Listen to what's been written that God has recorded for you. Amen? He wants you to know what he's been talking about. And it is. Can I just tell you this, that you can't not trust mankind. How many say amen to that? You can't trust me. Although, hey, I'm trustworthy. But am I? You don't know that. Who's the new folks here? Who first time here? You don't know me, do you? How can I trust what you're saying? Nobody knows. I mean, how can you trust anybody but God? Amen? You can trust the word of God. You can allow God's word to filter in, to filter out. Is that okay? He wants to filter out the things that are no good that you don't need. And you know what? That filter, it comes from the word of God. If you don't have this word in your heart, the filter is going to be, it's going to be clogging up. How many say amen to that? How many know what happens when a filter clogs up? Does anybody know? Yeah, good. It breaks. Amen. Praise God. It wears out. It wears out. How many of you are tired? Maybe you're wearing out. Maybe no, I'm just okay. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to leave that alone. Praise God. So he goes to Samuel in Ramah. And it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah." And Saul sent messengers. I love this part. Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of what? The prophets prophesying, Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they prophesied. Come on. Hallelujah. Like Moses said, hey, I would that you all would prophesy. You remember that? God wants us to prophesy. God wants you to speak to the dry bones of the people that are around you. The Bible says in Ezekiel, if you read the story about the Valley of Dry Bones, he's talking about Israel and how they've lost all their hope. That's what God says, can these bones live? No, I don't know, God. They're bones. God says, hey, man, they can live. But somebody has to prophesy to them. That's our job. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Brian? Isn't that what you do, Brian? Don't you step into the life and prophesy what God... Is that what you guys do? John, isn't that what you do? You step in and you say something. This is what God's word is saying to you. And it doesn't have to say, thus saith the Lord. Thou art... Whatever. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to do it that way. You can use your... I left that compressor hooked up. Did that shut me off when it did that? Are you telling me it's time to stop? No, stop. I used to prophesy. Hank, thank you, Hank. I'm sorry, man. Glory. Let's just listen to how nice it sounds. Is this being recorded, bro? It is. Oh, man, I don't know where I'm at now. Praise God. Everybody, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Man, hallelujah. Man, I didn't realize that thing was so noisy, but praise God. God, man, I wish you would all. But here these guys are prophesying. And it was told Saul, and he sent other messengers. And they prophesied also, likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied. Praise God. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Can God do what he wants to do?
Yeah.
Can I tell you right now, I don't believe that Saul could kill David if David was right in front of him. Because it wasn't God's plan. God had a plan for him. See the things of God are known by him from the foundation of the world to the end of the world. All his acts that he uses through us. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. They prophesied. So then Saul, he goes, oh man. So he went also to Ramah and came to the great well that is in Shechem. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went there to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied, and he came to Naoth in Ramah. I'm coming to kill David. Can you hear him prophesying? The Lord will bless David and will cause him to be king over Israel. He will do mighty things in the name of the Lord. He'll be strong and cause Israel to rise. They will call him the light of Israel. Come on, man. Hallelujah. I don't know what he was prophesying, but man, he was prophesying. Maybe he was prophesying about David. Wouldn't that be just like God to be using his mouth to speak the things about his enemy? Wouldn't that be just like, I think that'd be cool. I wish I knew what he said. But it's not written, so I don't know. So it says this, and he went there to Naoth and Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth and Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all night, all that day and all that night. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets. Isn't that a beautiful story? Isn't that cool how David was watched over and held by God? Esteemed David as very special. Can I tell you, that's the same thing you are. You are esteemed very special before God. You are a man or a woman of God. His name and his anointing is upon you. Whether you know it or understand it or not, He has angels around you that are not just little short, little fat baby ones, little fat, little chubby ones that are with the little tiny wings that you see in a lot of pictures. These guys are the word awesome is the word. They are unimaginable to see and to know that they're next to you, they're walking with you, and they're waiting to hear God's word coming out of your voice. Yep. That's what they do. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Psalm chapter 16, and we'll read verse 11, if you want. The word of God says here, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." How many of you know those guys entered into something they didn't know what it was? They began to prophesy. It was the presence of God. It was his spirit that was there at that place in Ramah, Naoth of Ramah. He said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are" what? "Pleasures evermore." He has things. Is that right?
Yep.
What things? I don't know what things he has for you. But somewhere along 2015, he opened his bag of things and gave this the people of this church this building.
Amen.
And said, "Man, this is for you guys." That's why I'm telling the harvest. See, we're soul minded. And I'm going to tell you, we have to be soul minded because Jesus loves souls. But there is an inheritance in the earth for the body of Christ. There are pleasures, there are joys, there are great things that we have that are all in this harvest that God is calling the harvest. Ooh, come on. Come on, hallelujah. Get some of that money out of my wife's purse into my wallet. Come on, she's shaking her head. Shut up. Praise God. Hallelujah. That will show me. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 10. Check this out. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." This chapter was used a lot. How many during when COVID first came out? How many of you heard this probably 5 or 6 times, 5 or 10 times? Here it is again. And it says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's where you're going to be, under his shadow. What's it mean to be under his shadow, under his protection? There's a place in here where he says he'll cover you with his wings. He just shields you. And then Bible says sometimes you'll feel this, that you'll feel the flutter or the wind of his wings. How many of you know what they're talking about? That's the presence of God. I was talking to the people that came in this morning. How would you describe the presence of God to somebody that doesn't know anything about what you're talking about? And it is very much emotional. What you feel is emotions. You feel, but there's something about the presence of God that when you're in it, you're in it. And you know it. When you're in it, you sense it. Amen? Hallelujah. I can tell you that the presence of God can be totally in a building, and there can still be people that don't feel it and don't sense it, don't know it. One of the reasons, because they don't know they don't recognize it as anything. Maybe it could be something like a good movie. And then Pastor John brought up, and Stella brought up, the Hallmark cards. How many of you guys like those Hallmark commercials? How many of you ever cried at a Hallmark commercial? Anybody? I have. I've looked at it and go, "Oh my God, that's a good commercial." That's how it feels. The presence of God is like that. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. And so here it says, "He that dwells in that presence, and he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." Surely. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Let me put it another way. Surely he shall deliver thee from the fowler and from COVID pestilence. How's that? You like that? Yeah. "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust." There's those wings. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Is that right? It's things that his truth will shut things down. How many say amen to that? Amen. Anything that's contrary to you, anything that's contrary to what his word says about you because of who you are, his truth is a shield to you, and it's also a buckler. Amen. It's a shield. Knock it down. Can I tell you, the word of God says many are the afflictions of the righteous. How many say amen? Oh, you might catch COVID. But the word of God says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he will deliver them out of some of them, a few of them, a couple of them, one or two. The word is all, huh? What does all mean?
All.
All. Yeah, I like that. It's a done deal. He delivers them out of them all. Praise God. Is that right? Many are the afflictions. I mean, we go through things, folks. Amen? But you stand on the word of God and you walk with God. Amen? Hallelujah. Ooh, come on, man. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
His truth will be your shield and his buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, man. Only with your eyes shall you see and behold the reward of the wicked. Only with your eyes. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your what? Your habitation. Your habitation. It's a place where you dwell. It's a place where you inhabit. Is that okay? That's what you've made the Lord your habitation. Oh, come on, man. You got to get there. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Okay, I want you to look at this real quick. Well, you say, yeah, well, wait a minute. I got sick. Yeah, okay. But let me just say this to you. I remember a time when I had a bad toothache. And it was First Assembly, and pastor was praying for folks up there, and I had this bad toothache. And I said, you know, I'm going to get prayed for. So I went up there, and I wasn't from here to Dan. And all of a sudden, it was like a just went away. So I went up there, hey, I got a bad toothache. Yeah, okay, so prayed for me, turned around. I walked out. I got about from here to, and bam, it's right back again. I go, whoa. I went back. Praise God. Can I tell you, it was the presence of God. Can I tell you, things can't withstand his presence. Sickness, disease, death cannot withstand the presence of God. That's why he says, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest because in my presence, nothing that's contrary to you can survive.
Amen.
Can I say that to you? And so when you get into God's presence, get in there. It is make it your habitation. And it doesn't have to be just, well, early in the morning when I get up or late at night. Some people like to pray at night. I'm talking to you all day long when you're at work, when you're driving your car, when you're going to the restroom. Well, make him your habitation. Hallelujah. He knows where you're at. Is that right? You got to know where you're at. You got to know that God is your home. Is that right? You're at home with God. Are you home with God?
Oh, yeah.
Or are you staying out of the house? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Make him your habitation. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 31 through 33. Well, before I go there, I just want to show you something about, instead of Romans 8, can you put up, when Samuel went to Ramah, when David went to Ramah to be with Samuel, they were at a little place called Naoth. And so Naoth in the Hebrew is Navith. Next week is Greek. Next press is Greek. Oh, it says Naoth is Navith in Hebrew. And you know what it means? Residence. Isn't that cool?
Yep.
A place, isn't that what we just talked about? A habitation, a place of dwelling. And here it says right here, it says, Nava. This word, Navith, is from the word Nava, and it is to rest as at home through the implied idea of beauty. Amen. To celebrate with praises, to prepare a habitation. Can you hear what I'm saying to you? Can you hear what the Holy Ghost is saying to you this morning? Where David went, him and Samuel, they said, Samuel, Saul is trying to kill me. Samuel, come with me. They walk to Naoth. They get to Naoth. And he says, Saul's trying to kill you? Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And they began to worship God with all their heart and all. It's no wonder those guys, when they came, all they sensed was, woo, what's going on here? Hallelujah. It was the presence of God. Come on. Hallelujah. Woo. Naoth. Go around and say, Naoth. Naoth. Come on. I'm at home. I'm at home. This is my habitation. This is Naoth. This is where I belong. How many know you belong at home? Come on. God's already afforded you the way to get to home. And he says, because I've got something for you to do on that planet you got down there. So I got to get you home so I can fill you with the things so you can take the planet. Because the planet has been given to the sons of men. Hallelujah. Not to the wicked. Hallelujah. You'll see that God made Adam to dwell on the earth. He said, take dominion of the earth. Subdue it. And that is the command given to the body of Christ today. Same thing. We're back to the prototype. We are the prototype. The prototype is living, dwelling within us. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing what God's doing. Don't be in a hurry to leave. Praise God. Don't be in a hurry to leave. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 33 says this. So, brothers, sisters, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who or what can be against us? Can anything? He that spared not his own son. Jesus died for you. Do you understand that? He laid down his life for you. For you. Laid it down. God didn't even spare him because he loved you. He let him lay down his life for you, whoever you are. If you don't know God today, I will tell you, today is a beautiful day to get to know him as your Lord and as your Savior. He loves you like no other's ever loved you. He's loved you more than your mom. How do you say amen to that? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Huh. And it's easy. He's so much for you. He said, let me just tell you how to get to me. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus, that he died for you. He was also resurrected for you. He took your sins, washed them away, put his righteousness, the righteousness of his dear son upon you, so that you can be a man or a woman of God, powerful in the earth, ready to see the things of God. Says right here, he that spared not his own son, he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us what? Can I tell you, he's trying to give us the harvest. And it's more than just souls, because when the harvest begins to hit in a way where there are cities, countries, buildings taken for the kingdom of God, the harvest will come in. People will see, you are of God. You are the people of God. How do I get in? Say, hey, believe in Jesus. So here it says it. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's who you are. Who can say anything about you? Nobody can. Nobody should. But they will. They're going to think you're goofy. They're going to think you're crazy. Is that how many say amen to that? Amen. They're going to think you're a little out of this world. Is that right? What are you, an alien? Say, no, man. I'm a caretaker of this planet.
That's right.
And my father says, you are about to get evicted unless you want to join us. Amen? Join us. Come on, join us. Because God will do great and mighty things through you. I may say amen. Let's pray. Praise God. Let's pray. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Let's stand up and let's pray. Everybody must be asleep. I think I said that three times. Stand up. Let's pray. Come on, man. That's all right. Glory to God. How many say, oh, God, have your way in my heart? How many say, God, have your way? Have your way, Father. Lord, just as you showed us this morning, Father, how you watched over David, you took care of him. Father, we know you're watching over us and you're taking care of us. Father, we know that you have told us never to fear, but to trust you. Lord, we put our trust in you. That's the only place we can put our trust today. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing. Father, we ask you that you would, Father God, speak to our hearts. Speak to us all day long, if you would, Father. Speak to us. Let us know what you would have us do. In Jesus' name. If you agree to that, say amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you for coming to church this Sunday. Amen. Love you guys. Come on. Hallelujah. Bring a friend.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.